Right, so we're on to the final one from the 48. This is it. Grand Siyum. And then Ritz Hashem will discuss Yom Kippur for the next few days, and the next man back to Mishle. That's the plan. So, the last of the Menkas Kinyanim is Omer Davar B'Shem Omra. You say over what you heard in the name of the person who said it. So basically, you're properly attributing your sources to the source of who said it all. So why is that so important in being kind of Torah? What does that mean? So the Tiferes Yisrael says, for sure your person can't like plagiarize. Cause it be mislabish, betal shel chaveiro. Literally, you know, we're wearing your friend's talus, but it means taking his divrei Torah and sharing them in your name. That's for sure you can't do. That's pashut. But he says that even saying things over stam, meaning, so if I say, if there's a vort that was said by Rav Chaim, and I say it myself, that's for sure a problem. Because I'm taking something and I'm presenting it for what it's not. But one second. But let's say I say it over stam. I say a certain acharon said like this. I heard somebody say this. So sometimes you forgot who said it. So fine. So that's not like a problem. But let's say you dafka don't say who it was. So there's a milah of saying who it was. You want to be maskir shmo levracha. You want to go out of your way, the first Torah says, to mention the name of the person who said it, levracha, with the proper context. But why you want to attribute that source. Then we'll discuss why that is. But again, it's possible you can't say things over in your name that aren't yours. But even to say things stam is not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to say them over in the person's name. So those are the question.
For the first show, is the fact that did it need to ask if the Askabila or just like it's not very good?
Is it Ganevas Das of Esmechila from the people there?
No,
the person who said it from? No, for the person who said it, you don't ask Esmechila, but it's more mitzad fooling the Talmidim,
right,
to think you're more than you are. I don't know if you have Esmechila, I don't know if it's Ganevas Das Be'etzim, but it's you know, you're making them think you are what you're not is wrong, but I don't know if it's a thing. I don't know if it's Esmechila for it. I don't know if you're not in any way being mekalkel them with what you said. You're not causing them any loss, but it's more of an issue of gaiva, taking credit for what's not yours. So first and foremost, there's an issue of anava, meaning you have to be willing to show it's not all what, out of all the answers, you know, what I have comes from somewhere else. I'm not the biggest Talmid Chacham in the world, and I have to be mekal for other sources. That's number one. And another point, though, I think is very important, which is that a person is very connected to the pshat which is said. Meaning that, let's take an example. If I say over a pshat, let's say I'm learning a sugya, right? So I can tell you a pshat that was said by the Rashba. I could tell you a pshat that was said by Rav Chaim. I can tell you a pshat that was said by my Rebbe. I can tell you a pshat that was said by my Chavrusa. I can tell you a pshat that was said by my 6-year-old kid. I mean, so the person you connect with the pshat makes a major difference in terms of the weight of what you're saying, in terms of the context of how it was said, in terms of how much credibility you give it. There's a big nafkamina. Let's say I say a pshat by an Adam Gadol who is known as a big Baal Halacha. Or I stayed over from an Amgadah who's known as a big Makubal. I stayed over from a big Baal Musar. Or I stayed over from a Lamdin. There's a difference in where it's coming from, how it's being said, why they said what they said. And, you know, they could all be right. There's the Shivan Panam Torah. You have that. There's different approaches to a Sugya. But who said it and where it's coming from makes a major difference. So before I get to, let's say, somebody who should just like, you know, disregard what they say, which there are people like that as well, but just to know, like, the pshat you get, let's say, from a marsha, is always going to be a very different style than you'll get from, like, let's say, Rav Shimon, or from Rav Elchanan. They could both be a valid pshat, and they both can make sense, but it's going to be a very different mahalach. If I know who said it, I can understand better where it's coming from, why they said what they said, where it's, you know, the angle on the pshat. It makes a major nafkamina. The more you learn, if you're familiar with different mefarshim, you understand the angle they take and their mahalach, how they answer things. There's a big difference. So that helps you understand the Torah. So besides the fact that I can't take my credit for something that's not mine, besides the fact that I shouldn't say it's stam, I should be maskir shmo lebracha, give him credit where credit is due. But in terms of the learning, it makes a big difference to understand who the people were, what their style is, and where they're coming from. It makes a major difference. Now, this goes into like a bigger topic, which is I think a lot of us don't have enough context, and myself included, in terms of who the people were that were quoting, because it also makes a very big difference. Let's go back to my example. So, if I tell you Pshat b'shem Rishon, you know, let's say a very accepted Rishon. I have a Rashba, a Ritva, a Ramban, a Rush, a Ran. So that carries a certain weight to it. That has to be understood. That can't be ignored. That has to be grappled with. Why? Because this is a Rishon accepted by Klal Yisrael, and Rishonim have a certain clout and a certain weight, which let's say others don't have. That's one. Now let's say I say it over b'shem a Mishnah, a Medrash, a Braisa, a Tana. That has more of a weight. You know, you don't discard the words of a Tana. You know, what a Tana says is emes and it's gold. You know, and that has a certain weight to it. Let's say it's b'shem and Acharon. So there's also a weight, a little different type of weight than you put on the words of a Rishon. Now, if I tell you pshat, like I said, b'shem Rav Chaim, forgetting the style, but just authoritatively, that's different than the pshat of a Rishon and the pshat of a Tana. Even though they're all humongous gedolim, and their words have to be taken very seriously, to know where they came from makes a very big difference. One of the things you have to pick up on in your early years in yeshiva is how to sort through information and know what significance to give it. Is it a psak which has to be dealt with? Is it stamisvara? Is it just something which can be sort of brushed aside? You know, people get up all the time. I think one of the issues that you have, maybe, let's say, a Baal Tshuva might have very often, is that they don't know how to sort out the information they're getting. So, you know, everything they hear becomes Torah Misinai, and becomes like a din deraisa. So, whether they hear there's a din of not doing borer on Shabbos, whether they hear you're supposed to hold the Kiddush cup in your right hand, whether they hear they're supposed to overflow the cup for Abdullah, they're all the same weight for that person, because they don't know the difference. The fact that holding it in your right hand, or, you know, that's a din in the Gemara. Overflowing the cup for Abdullah is a nice inyan brought down by the Gemara. Nothing borer is in the rest, so they have skila for. But if you don't know how to sort the information out, so then it's all the same to you, you end up with a very, very skewed way of looking at Torah. So it's also similar to who said it. If it was said as a psak in Shulchan Aruch, that has one type of authority to it. If it was said, if it was brought down in a Mishnah Brura, or if it was, you know, a chumrah that was said by a local Rosh Yeshiva, they're different. And each one has to be dealt with separately. And they could all be valid or invalid, whatever it is, but it has to be understood who said it and where it's coming from. Yeah.
Well, isn't that left by, like, by the way around? I mean, the Mishnah Brura,
but the difference is the Shulchan Aruch, a Mishnah Brura being brought down is sort of filtering through many, many different poskim and coming out with some sort of conclusion, which may be totally on four different shitas and a suffix when it came out this way, right? Whereas a Pesach Shulchan Aruch we don't ignore unless there's a really good tzad by later poskim to ignore it. Like that has to be grappled with in a more serious way than a Mishnah Brura should also be grappled with. But each one has the different level of seriousness to it. If I tell you this halacha, I don't tell you who said it. So maybe it's a Pesach Shulchan Aruch, maybe it's a Pesach Mishnah Brura, maybe it's a Magen Avraham, maybe it's Rav Shlomo Zalman, maybe it's my neighborhood rabbi, maybe it's my friend who happened to have read it on the internet, you know, on a website, which quoted somebody else, so I don't know who he is. So, who said it? It makes a big difference. B'shem Omra. Makes a very big difference. Yeah. Say that, I can hear you. Say that. Yeah.
So
you should listen. If they're not saying his name, then you should say it. I heard it from Eruv. They should share his name. You know, that's valid. You know, not sharing someone's name is valid, but then people listening to you then will still take it with a little more hesitation because they don't know who said it. It's often you see in a sefer, you know, Shemati b'shem Gadol Echad. You know, you've sort of say that. So in certain sefarim, it's known who the Gadol Echad actually is. But some Svarim is not. But you start anonymous sources, you know, Lahavdil, the newspaper brings anonymous sources, you start questioning the article. Anonymous sources, you know, don't hold that much weight. So if you know the Sefer, you know that the Machaber is, you understand that he's a big Talmud Chacham, what he's quoting is not just whoever. So fine, you give him more of a serious look at it. But when you see, oh, this a rabbi said this, you know, a Rav said this, you start questioning unless you can really track down the source. Yeah.
So, like, but you don't, like, if people go into the Rav and they say, is this pack kosher? You never hear the Rav say, well, the preacher says that you, like, or you look at the past, like, maybe yes or no.
Okay, well, because your goal there is to get a psak. Your goal is not to learn the sugya.
Even so.
No, see.
If you're necessarily, like, it's not.
Well, because that's more of a question of chinuch, meaning that how confusing it will be to the people listening if you started throwing in names and sources. So some depends on the goal of the shir and who the people are, who the rav is, you know. If you're in a shir and a shiva that's talking about halacha, so typically there the Rebbe will be giving you sources because you're there to learn the sources. If you're sitting in a drasha and a shul and the Rav's idea is just to give you halacha maisa quickly before Myriv, so he's going to throw a toss on halacha whether he understood it. But you have to know there's a big difference that what the Rav threw out before Myriv is a single psak he's giving based on a lot. You can't start extrapolating from it, so you don't know where he's coming from. Whereas if you actually heard a shir and understand the sources, you have much more to work with yourself. But that's all part of sorting through the information. Mashim Omro makes a difference. I'm saying if it's a shir that if the Rav gave you a quick shir before Myriv, his goal is not to teach you the yisod of the halacha, to give a dag anything.
If you could technically,
if you feel you have the sources down, I mean, you do it cautiously, right? If you understand, my Rav said this psak, and he based it off of a svara said in a Prima Gadim, Stira in a Gemara in Beya and in Psachim, and the way that Magen Avraham came out. So you have that. So now you know the sources. I mean, ideally you look up yourself and learn through them and understand them better, but there's something more there to work with than just the Rav said Mutter. That's all I'm saying. But often that's just a matter of the teaching style is based on who is listening and what type of shir it is. So that's, you know, you have more be'in, you have more just lochel ma'isa, you have people themselves who are not interested in sources, who people in Yevlam Le Torah who are interested in the sources. It really depends upon who's listening. That's a big part of it. So that's a big part of Shem Omro, a very important thing. Also, if you know who said it, you can then answer up more. Stiras. If I tell you two different things, and I don't give you names, so it's a stira. If I say, you know, one's actually Shulchan, one's the Ramah, okay, so you understand, it's not a stira, it's two different psakim. But the Shem Omro makes a difference. Also, it said, if you say the Shem Omro motivates us to share Divrei Torah ourselves, because we like to have our name quoted. Maybe it's not the best mina that we want to have that covered, but we like to leave some sort of impression that we said something that was intelligent and made sense. So if you know people are going to say we're Bishim Omro, maybe you're motivated yourself to learn, because maybe someone will say something in your name. The Gemara actually says that when a person dies, we say things over b'shem Omro, there are susayim dovos bekever, their lips move in the grave, which means there's some chiyas they're given by the Divrei Torah la'achar misa. Almost everybody. So if you leave behind you la'achar mevas rishana Divrei Torah, people will still learn after you and they can quote your name, then that keeps you alive, you know, even after death. So that's a motivational factor. And also pushes you to learn more, because if you're always talking b'shem somebody else, every time you say shir, you never say a thing of your own. It's always somebody else's Torah. So then that also might not be a little makes you feel a little less motivated, you know, because you're not gonna, if you know that if I learn well, I can say my own Divrei Torah, that motivates you to push yourself further. So it's also a motivational factor. Bottom line is, don't present yourself as someone who you're not. That's for sure. Meaning, as we started with, B'Shem Omro always is the, it's always the getter that I'm not going to have too much gaiva and present myself as a person who I'm not. If I'm saying something I read in some other sefer, I'll say it over that way. I'm not going to take credit for someone else's Divrei Torah, they're not mine. Now, just to maybe put a little flip side to this, just a quick story. The Rosh Yeshiva has said over many times, Maisa with Rav Nachum. Once the time he came to Rav Nachum, and they told him that there's another Rosh Yeshiva out there that's saying over your shiurim in his own name. So, they didn't bother him at all, he was a big anav. And he said, Baruch Hashem, the Talmid will have pshat now. And that was it. You know, they didn't face him, because on the flip side of it is, Divrei Torah are not yours. No, they're Kodesh Baruch Hu's. And as long as the emes is getting out to the world, it shouldn't bother you if it's being said in the wrong name, the right name, whatever name. That's beside our own personal midos. You know, my Divrei Torah, if someone shares them, and people now understand the emes of Kodesh Baruch Hu's, that's a maila, regardless if I get credit or not. But mitzideinu, we have to know who says things, and we have to say them over properly because, again, of our anava. and for understanding where it comes from, because that makes a big difference, understanding the Torah. All right, Shkoyach.